Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all you need. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast, broadcasting to you out of Lexington, Kentucky. This is Stephen Zimmer, and this is episode number 293, only seven away from the big milestone of 300. And thanks, as always, to the band Far Cry for that awesome intro music that we have now. And tonight is going to be a great show. And I'd like to welcome onto the show right now, we will have two co-hosts tonight. One is running a little bit behind, but the one that is here is the one and only Daniel Dark. So how you doing, Daniel? I see you on there.
I'm doing good, man. Having an interesting week going on.
Yes, you have an announcement, and Tommy B. Smith is first in the chat room tonight so far, so he's not going to miss this announcement. But yes, take the floor and tell us, because it's cool.
Today is the launch of the Mystery Box Motorcycle Raffle, which will have, there'll only be 200 tickets sold in the mystery boxes of 10 cigars with a raffle ticket for $100 a box. So if you go to Instagram and look up gentlemen_cigars, you'll find that being offered. Then you can contact me about getting your mystery box.
Awesome. That is awesome. And limited number of tickets, and what a prize. That's a gorgeous motorcycle, and certainly anybody that likes motorcycles would love to win that. And the value in what you get is phenomenal. So it's what I say is a win-win all around. And how much for these mystery boxes? Got a question in the chat room on that.
It'll be $100 a box.
$100 a box. $100 a box.
I've sold six of them already today before I even get the thing launched. So
six. So, yeah, sold six already. So, hey, we're already underway. But, if you're into this whole world of cigars, you know, this would be an awesome gift and also give a chance to win a motorcycle. So, yeah, it's an awesome offer and definitely Yeah, Gentleman Cigar is definitely making waves down there in Tennessee with the big trolley. So, yeah, very, very cool stuff. Very excited for you, Daniel. I know you've worked so hard to get the trolley ready and definitely doing it in one of the toughest climates to start a business in with this whole mess that we have going on nationally. And you're moving forward strongly and with cool things. So that's I'd encourage people to get a hold of you. And, of course, your Instagram is a showcase of images and definitely something to check out. And it looks like as we speak there, it looks like Holly finally came in. And I think I have
Hello,
her.
Hello.
There she is. Holly,
I lost track of time. I was like, well, I'm going to tell you guys why, because that darn Colleen Green, anyway, I got to reading her book, you know, this lovely author that we all know. And, yeah, I got to reading her book and got in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Well, we'll give you a pass, Holly, for this time. Yeah, because that is a good reason to be late.
And then I heard you talking. I was like, oh no, it's time for the show.
Yeah. Oh,
I better get with it.
Y'all, like, He almost sounded like the rabbit from Through the Looking Glass. I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. Oh, no. I'm
that
late
was
for
me.
The show.
Better late than never. That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, the chat room is building up already. You've got, of course, award-winning author,
be right there.
Authors. All of them are award-winning authors, the ones that have been entering, from Tommy V. Smith to Sandy Lander to Amy McCorkle, also an award-winning filmmaker as well. And it looks like she has some news to pass along. She has a publicist. Amy has a new publicist now in Team McCorkle. So congratulations on that. That's a bit of good news.
Always a good addition.
And then Tommy's sitting over there contemplating buying about 10 mystery boxes from Daniel to give to his friends for Christmas. So
heck,
I know,
yeah.
That's what he's thinking. He's just sitting there right now. And Sandy's unbelievable. I'm telling you, I said it last week, but she has just got so many cool projects coming down the pipe. I've been privy to a couple of the ones that are on the very near horizon. And yeah, if you listen to us, you know, we call her the genre blender, and these are just, I mean, it's just perfect examples of why we call her the genre blender. And so, yeah, keep an eye on Sandy's pages for announcements on releases. And looks like Holly's in the chat room now. We got, the awesome Scott Connolly. He's the man. I think he missed last week, but he is back. He is back. He's one of the coolest cats around. But Scott Connolly's back with us. So, yeah, it's going good. We were early talking about Daniel's mystery box offer, Holly, and it's now available, and he's already sold 6 of them. Those awesome cigar mystery boxes that have a raffle ticket. Hopefully it's like Willy Wonka. You can get your golden ticket to win that motorcycle, and really, really cool stuff. And they're just right on cue. Sandy comes through with more news. 2021 Poetry Marathon Anthology was released today and has her B poem in it. So that's the 2021 Poetry Marathon Anthology released today. And it has your
cool.
B poem in it. And guarantee you that Sandy's poem is probably generating a lot of buzz in the poetry community, you know, the B poem that she's got. So... you get it, Holly?
I got you. I was responding to Tommy B's comment about Sandy's ability. He's not, you know, understanding the full scope until hearing the song Sandy Lander, the genre blender. You know, and we sang this at home throughout the week. Something brought Sandy's name up there today, and I'm like, the genre blender, Sandy Lander,
the genre blender.
You know, now we get to singing it.
Yeah, we actually sing that here in the house on a near weekly, pretty much a weekly basis, I'd have to say. It's pretty awesome.
Yep.
So, but we won't make you suffer. I do plan on giving you another line to that song in December as a Christmas treat, and at which time I will sing all the lines that I have written for Sandy's jingle. But that will be a special Christmas treat for the rest of you, so you just have to wait. But, yeah, Holly could probably sing it a hell of a lot better than me. She's got a good voice.
Tommy said
Holly
he's just been waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need the rest of the song. We should duet it. Tommy B said it should be a duet. No, it should be a trio. We'll get the dark one in here.
Yeah, well, we could get Noah on the map as a music producer by recording and producing this jingle with us and getting it out there, you know, because I know it'll go
true.
Viral.
He could produce the jingle. That's true.
Yeah, he could. And Sandy is doing about to do something that I want to do on a nearly weekly basis. She's about to fling a computer out the window trying to get one of these blended books formatted. Oh, yes, I've been there, Sandy. I know exactly how you feel. But tonight, definitely just get a nice glass of wine, or if you have some of your Four Roses bourbon handy there, and relax and enjoy a good show to kick off December, because today is 1st of December, and, of course, that means that NaNoWriMo concluded yesterday. So congratulations to those of you that were doing NaNoWriMo and completed it, or if you did not officially complete it, that you did it, you know, participated in it. And, you know, so we've definitely given a lot of our thoughts on NaNoWriMo and important thing is it gets you in the routine of writing. That's the main thing. But
yeah,
definitely congrats
to everybody that even tried to do NaNoWriMo.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
And we'll definitely pass along. If any of you have news there in the chat room, if anyone in there has some NaNoWriMo updates, I don't know if anybody in the group right now has done it, but if you did, pass it along. I'll pass it along. But we do have two awesome sponsors tonight. One, the aforementioned Sandy Lender, the genre blender, and then we also have tonight Ren Garcia. And it's about time to have Ren back for a guest appearance on the show because he is just such a fun guy and such a creative individual, always writing, always busy working on new stuff. So I think it's about time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to give our little friend in Ohio a nudge to come onto the show and bring us up to date. But we'll go ahead and give you his spot first, just to reverse the order of what we usually do, and we can answer the big question at the end. And then second, we'll give you a spot from Sandy. Of course, pay attention to it and get the book that's being advertised in it to show your appreciation, and also because it's an awesome book that's perfect for 2022. So first we have Ren Garcia.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes.
You want to answer that?
Yes, we are, Ren Garcia.
Yes, we are, Ren. Absolutely.
Indeed.
I'm not weird enough, but I'm enjoyable enough for it. So I like a good enjoyment.
Right.
There you go.
All right, and then now we'll move over to Sandy Lender, and again, I give this your undivided attention because you want to go right over to Amazon, pick up a copy of this so that you're ready for 2022. Here you go.
Tell an artist in your life you support and believe in them. Author Sandy Lender makes that easy with her latest release, 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer. This workbook is a journal, creative resource, and tool of inspiration all rolled up in one with 365 prompts and suggestions to stoke the creative brain. Grab it from Amazon in time for holiday gift giving. That's 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer by Sandy Lender.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you very much, Sandy. As always, thank you, Ren. Just such a great group of just a bedrock of support for the show. So, yeah, definitely show them your thanks for picking up some of their stuff. But, yeah, Tommy B. Smith is getting ready to crack me up, by the way, Holly and Daniel, because he doesn't do NaNo. He hasn't yet, but he always gives kudos to those who participate and get it knocked out. Tommy, when I first read that, I thought you said those who participate and get knocked out. I was like, oh, my God, that's pretty intense. That's like the writing dojo or writing UFC? You participate and get knocked out. that's really stepping into the arena there, Tommy.
Heck yeah.
Yes, that's where writing gets pretty hardcore, you know, when you participate in a writing program and you get knocked out. Well, we'll have to stock smelling salts to help those folks, you know, if they actually got knocked out, but get them back to, you know, consciousness. that tells you that I've been editing all week when my eyes start blurring out like that. So, yeah, you have to forgive me a little bit. Yeah, because the chat screen's just a little, the font's a little small on my board here. So, but it is hilarious. And yeah, Tommy wants to do a full contact NaNo 1 year. Uh-oh, we this could be good. We're going to fuse
right
with
I'll
the
UFC. Hey, I'll do it then. I am all in then. I'm all in.
This is crazy.
That will inspire me, Tommy B.
Yeah, this is a think tank for bizarre ideas. So yeah, if you go back on all of our shows in the past, we often have just hilarious ideas. Sometimes we actually have good marketing ideas that people should actually use, and we give those to our guests, you know, free of charge. But sometimes our ideas are completely ridiculous. But that's why, you know, you love us, because sometimes it gets entertaining. So. And I'm sure Tommy's amused.
If we do the full contact one, that will have to be on video.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, world streaming.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Most certainly.
This would be unprecedented. Yeah, this would be unprecedented. And, I'll have to get a good bourbon sponsor, like the Vampire Brothers that Holly likes so much. We'll have to get their bourbon company or something to sponsor it.
Hey, you laugh now. You laugh now.
I'm not
but
laughing.
I'm not laughing. If I get them, yeah, you laugh now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm not laughing, but I'm actually curious.
I'm not scared.
That'd be
I'll
epic.
Ask anybody. I'm not scared.
No. Like I said, the worst that can happen is they say no. But
I will
they
say,
have a Kentucky
I will
connection.
Say, people, that very soon we're going to start doing some really cool announcements for Imaginarium guests. We've got some good stuff coming down the pike.
Yeah, we've been talking
new faces,
some really
baby.
New faces, and we've got, it looks like, an Imaginator guest that is absolutely awesome, and definitely we're excited about. We hope to confirm in the next few days. So hopefully by next Wednesday we'll have a big guest announcement to drop, and then we got a slew of guests that already have, applied and been confirmed. So we're going to be getting that rolling full tilt. Holly's back not full steam, because I told her to ease back into it after her absolutely hellish month that she had. But she is back and making some waves on the some of the guest front stuff. So yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
So y'all be getting emails. Look out for emails and announcements and all that. I'll be hitting it really hard in January, but this month it's Christmas, and I have too many kids and too many grandkids. So we've had to spread it out, because if they were all here at once, I would jump off a bridge. So
Yeah, and no, I'm leaving, and Noah already agreed. He's leaving. The cats already announced they're leaving, so. Yeah, if all of them came here at once, yeah, we would actually leave, and we're in solidarity. Noah, myself, Albert, and Vicky, gone. We're out of here.
Yeah.
So we made that abundantly clear to Holly. She knows this, so she's not going to do that to us. So that would be overkill.
Too much.
And Holly knows better. Yeah. She knows it'd be too much to her. But looks like Tommy will give a couple comments here, because our guest is about to call in a minute or two. But Tommy says, imagine finishing a book in the midst of a month-long free-for-all, knockdown, drag-out writing session. Now that would be an accomplishment worth noting. Tommy, you are taking the ball running with it. I love your initiative. I'm inspired, man. That is fantastic.
I'm not past organizing something like this. I tell you,
no,
that's
crazy.
Not a bad idea. That would make me feel so good, you know, to bash it out a few times. Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, don't forget, Holly's in the mode, because she just catered a film set that was filled with big, quick individuals that were playing knights who are into, advanced martial arts guys who are into doing stunts and combat and things like that. I mean, these
soldiers.
Guys were top flight. Yeah, soldiers, their military backgrounds, top flight. Formidable bunch in reality. I mean, definitely a very formidable group in reality. Great, great people. I love talking to them. I love meeting them, and I chatted up with several of them, but they were a group of badasses. So Holly is already in that
Definitely.
Zone. Holly's ready, Tommy. She's ready to get into this.
I'm ready.
And Tommy says, instead of a trophy style award, there should be a championship belt awarded. It's great. I'm
Hell
glad
yeah.
to see Tommy be inspired. This is making my evening so far.
I could see Daniel refereeing this, sitting back and holding up one of those things that say 10, you know, that was a 10 or, you know, round one.
Yeah. Daniel gives it that kind of class though, you know, he's got the dark suit on with the top hat and, you know, the mustache, you know, Daniel gives it that kind of veneer of class. He'll bring the class to the action. So
there you
that's
go.
Pretty cool.
There you go.
And then Sandy says, if you get the brothers to support the, What's that?
Queens of Marksberry. It'll have to be the Marksberry rules.
Well, okay, that's cool. That's Knuckles, man. Bare Knuckles.
Yeah.
And you remember the ladies that used to go around and they'd have these trays? And I know Daniel knows what I'm talking about. But back in the day, they sold cigars, the cigar ladies. So, see, Daniel, we put your cigars in those trays and we get a real sexy lady to walk around and sell your cigars. That, see, Tommy, you have come up with a brilliant idea here. We have a plan.
Yeah, our wonderful guest
on the ones that don't want to do that and everything, we'll do a drop the mic.
Yeah, something like that.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, where they have to sit there and they have to do, you know, a storyline, and then the other person has to do a storyline behind it, and then they have to do, you know, until they get to where they drop the mic on it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, do a battle, a word battle, you know, a battle of words.
Well, Tommy's yelling to the chat room, the Marquis of Queensberry rules, mic drop. So, yeah, Tommy is fired up. And, yeah, our wonderful guest that is coming into this here in just a second. She actually is on the on hold right now. I'm going to introduce her in just a second. But what we've gotten everybody so stirred up now, and I'm going to bring her in. So we'll have to get her thoughts on how crazy we are tonight. But tonight, we are bringing back a guest that both Holly and myself are, and of course Daniel, are extremely excited about. And it's been a little while since she has been on the show. And she is the author of the popular romance series, the Amber Milestone series. And she also writes young adult paranormal tales under the pen name of Karen Casey, including the also popular Witches of Blackstone series. She's a member of the Right Writers of Dayton, and definitely one of our favorite writers around, and that would be the one, the only, Colleen Green. Colleen, welcome to the show.
Woo!
Your mic should be live.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Holly.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Daniel, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I rated a hello or not, so.
You heard
he's pretty wound up. Daniel's pretty wound up today, so
we got him wound up.
I just heard your podcast when I called in, because I was actually coming home from work from like 9 o'clock to 10 after, so
we're just chiming in now,
so you'll have to catch me up.
We got the audience good and warmed up for you with our, you know, we have a tradition of coming up with crazy, ridiculous ideas sometimes. And Tommy B. Smith, award-winning author, was kind of tilting us in a direction of doing a thing that combines like UFC fighting with NaNoWriMo, like right, some kind of crazy mishmash of UFC and writing. And so we were noodling through this completely ridiculous idea that's evidently going has some legs under it, and Tommy B is real happy with us right now, but that's what you're walking into right now.
It's a mess.
That's
what it is. And before we start, I do want to say, go ahead.
It's going to be a bare knuckle contest between two formidable opponents that have a vocabulary that does not stop. Listen to the mic drop at the end and see who wins. So.
Oh, yeah, and they suggested
we
get out.
Don't know why, but when you said mic drop, it makes me think of like the people who do the, I don't know what the word for it is called, but when they kind of diss each other, but in the form of a rap, I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, battle. Yeah.
Yeah, those rap
battle
battles.
Battle of words,
those,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all down for it. I want to get out there bare knuckles. And Daniel, I told him what we'll do is we'll take his cigars and put it in a tray, you know, and have a cigar lady, a real sexy lady, walk around holding the tray and selling his cigars like they used to do back in the day. It's brilliant.
Old school kind of idea. Yes, that'd be awesome. Old school.
Me
but
and
yeah,
Daniel's
that's,
favorite time, you know.
Yeah,
that's what you walked into.
That is an old school thing. Yeah.
So we're glad to have you on the show.
No, I wanted. Yes. Oh, go ahead, Stephen. I was going to tell her.
Tell her why Holly was late tonight. That's what you know. Holly's usually propped as co-host. Holly was late tonight, and it's your fault, Colleen. Tell her, Holly.
Well, I don't read romance novels normally. It's not my genre, right? I read, you know, paranormal and all that good stuff, vampires and, you know, whatnot, witches. But I got to reading Colleen's book earlier, and as I was reading said book, I had to stop and do a few things, and then I was like, oh, it's about, oh, I don't know, 8:15. And I thought, well, I got time to sit here and read a little bit. Well, I sit here and I read, and I'm on like chapter 6 now, 5 or 6. Yeah, when I stopped, and I heard Stephen get on the podcast. He was in the office, and I heard him say, welcome. And I was like, oh no, you know. So I jump up, grab the laptop, grab my headphones, and I'm like, oh no. So I was like getting on because your book, just threw me in. And now I did buy it. You have a sale. I did buy it off of Kindle, and I've now got it on my lovely Kindle Fire here, and I will be reading more after the show.
That's awesome.
Very, very interesting. And your writing, I must say, superb. As an editor, I haven't found one mistake, which is wonderful. Because, you know, it's even in, and I tell Stephen, he gets so tickled because I'll be reading Anne Rice and I'll find an edit, you know, and I'll be like, I found she wrote this wrong, or this word spelled wrong, or, you know, and I'm like, yay, and I feel so accomplished. But, yeah, your writing, your editing, superb so far. Superb.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
love
that's
it.
Great to hear.
Yep,
that's
and I
nice.
Love the story.
Really nice.
You know,
oh,
I love cooking. So when I found out she was the main character is a chef, it's her book, The Last Words, people. You got to check it out. But the main character, she's a chef. And so then I'm already like, oh, wait a minute. And I hollered at Steve earlier and I said, she's a chef. And Steve's like, oh, well, then you're going to like it. And sure enough, I'm sucked in now. So.
Well,
good for
you,
Colleen.
Oh, thanks. I'm so glad that you are enjoying it so much.
I am.
Yeah.
Very much.
Good.
The only reason.
When you can grab somebody's attention, you know, those first chapter, second, when you've got their attention that quick, that's good writing, you know, and that's what I try to tell all writers. You want to come out the gate whetting people's appetite. You want to grab their attention, get them excited and wanting more, you know, because
absolutely.
If they're not intrigued by those first few paragraphs or, you know, chapter or two, if they're not intrigued, they're not going to read on more than likely. So
you got to grab
them, you know, and you did.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that both, you know, my Amber Milestone series and my, which is a Blackstone YA series, both, you know, one of my strong suits is I am able to grab retention within the first chapter or even second at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
But because I totally agree. When I read a book or watch a movie or watch a TV show, any of that, I want to be sucked in right away. And,
right.
You know, people's attention spans are shorter than ever with all the social media and stuff. So,
yes,
you know, I'm thinking most readers, especially younger readers, you need to grab them in the first chapter if at all possible, because if you don't, you could lose
yep.
them.
They're gone.
And, you know, people's attention span used to be a lot longer back in the day, as you guys were saying. I'll give you an example of this, which is kind of a weird way to give an example, but it'll make sense when I get all the way through it. So you remember the movie Great Gatsby, the original one with
love it.
Mm-hmm. Robert Redford, who is to me gorgeous, but especially back in his day,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the
right.
original one, Robert Redford and I can't think of the lady's name. Was it Mia? Maya.
Faro, was that it?
Something
was,
like that.
I have to look it up.
I think that was original, unless that was a remake too. Correct me if I'm wrong. But so then
yep.
they remade
Mia
that
Farrow.
Was it?
Mia
yeah,
Farrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So then they mm-hmm. remade that years later, right? Like back, I don't know, about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something. They redid it. So,
with
anyway,
Leonardo.
Right. So, but just watching the credits, the Robert Redford version, whatever, the long time ago version, the credits, they took forever to get through the credits. No action, just like backdrop with names on it, right? If you did that now in a theater, people probably would walk out because it was taking too long. You know, back then people's attention span was a lot more patient. Even old Disney movies, same thing. They used to do the credits first. Now they do the credits at the end. Or, you know, if they do some credits first, it's just a few and that's it. So.
Right.
Well,
but,
I think it actually
anyway.
I would love to comment on that just for a second because I think it affects some masterpieces and how they're perceived in the film world even because we were talking about this, I believe, with Noah, Holly and I were. But two of my favorite sci-fi movies in today's era are what I call slow burn movies. They don't have, you know, they're not quick and loaded mm-hmm. with all kinds of actions and explosions out of the gate. But the brand new Dune and Blade Runner 2049, I think, are both masterpieces. I mean, I just think they're just amazing, and the storytelling is deep. And I mean, but they're both slow burns, and they both, I think,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you know, got a little bit of backlash from people because of the attention span factor that you're talking about,
right.
Colleen. They weren't just blazing fast pace with lots of explosions and lots
mm-hmm.
of this and that. You know, they are both, you know, they both kind of immerse you in. They kind of draw you in. They're slow burns. So they're not quick. So I think, yeah, I think you definitely have a point there.
For whatever reason, Dune spans across generations because, you know, we are on the X generation side where my son Noah, he is a millennial. And he thinks that's a masterpiece. He said that's one of the best films he's ever seen is the new Dune. So, yeah, I mean, there's still there's time for it, and then there's not. But that's also film. With books, like Colleen said, I think it has got much shorter. If you tried to pull that with books today, you're going to lose – a majority of your millennials and Zs especially, because they
right.
are tuned into, you know, your TikTok videos, which are a few seconds long, up to 3 minutes, but most of them are just a few seconds, and, you know, all that. So they like the little things, you know, something's going to grab their attention really quick and move quick. And if you start out with a slow burn, yeah, they're going to lose their attention real quick.
But they're still out there because I think that, you know, when you look at some of the strongly selling epic fantasy series is out there, they're still selling
mm-hmm.
like gangbusters and doing very well. And they are not not short attention span kind of books. And so there are,
mm-mm.
and I think in time, I think is more, and I think the Z's, I'm noticing with the Z's, the more Z's are picking up reading a lot. And it's just an anecdotal thing,
mm-hmm.
but just my observation. But I see more Z's picking up
right.
reading, and I think that as they do more, I think they're going to develop a more I think Sandy used the word refined palate here in the chat room. But yeah, I think that is you know, going to happen as they, you know, as they get older and they immerse into things.
It crosses genres too, because like what you're talking about is epic fantasy. Now, that's not something I like to read. That's not my thing. That's deep.
About to convert you.
I mean, he absolutely loves epic fantasy.
Oh,
you know,
when you read my new one.
I know, but for now, it's not my thing. But people that are into epic fantasies, they know. They come in knowing that it's going to be, you know, kind of slower, and it's not going to be in your face, bam, 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 action. You know, they know they're going to be walking and walking and walking and walking.
Fans of like fantasy, adventure, maybe sci-fi too, I think are more patient sometimes
yes.
than other movers like, you know, action. Obviously, you have no patience. Probably if you love action. But it just
mm-hmm.
depends on, you know, what you're watching and what you're a fan of. But for me, if I'm going to write a book, I want to get you in, like I said, if I don't get you in the first chapter, I will for sure get you in the second one hooked, because that's my intention, is I want you to be hooked right away, so you're like, I just want to keep reading and reading and reading. And
right.
that's what you want your reader to keep turning the pages. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and like I said, even my young adult, some of the stuff I put in there is dark and gritty, you know, and they're sixth and eighth graders, and I understand that. But I also understand that sixth and eighth graders are also, you know, around the age that, like, Harry Potter stuff, and Harry Potter books and movies can be dark and gritty too. I'm not
Correct.
Saying I'm as good as that person, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that children or kids now can handle a lot darker of topics than I could when I was young, because back in my day, we couldn't handle it. Now they can. So,
right.
You know, it's not for the faint-hearted. I mean, there is a little bit of blood and gore, not a ton, but there's a little. And
mm-hmm.
obviously,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's meant to be scary on purpose because it's paranormal. But,
right.
you know, some people might read it and say, well, they're only in sixth and eighth grade. You know, don't you think you took that a little far? And I'm thinking, no, you know, because I talk to kids who are around that age, and I've asked them,
mm-hmm.
you know, they seem interested in, let's say I'm at a bazaar and buying my book, and I'll ask them before they buy it. I'll be like, well, let me ask you this. What is your scare factor? Meaning, can you watch things
right.
like Stranger Things and not get freaked out? And they're like, oh, no, I love that show. Or, I've read scary
mm-hmm.
books, or it doesn't bother me. I don't get nightmares. I like it, you know. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
So if they tell me that, I'm like, then this is the book for you, you know. But I always
mm-hmm.
did that
mm-hmm.
with the younger kids because I wanted to make sure that they were going to be good with it. I didn't want to sell them a book that was going to give them nightmares, you know. So
right.
I would always say,
well, yeah,
okay, what's your scare factor? That I would say, what do you watch? What do you read? And they tell me, and I'd be like, yeah, you're fine.
Yep.
You can handle it, you know.
You're fine. I've got a 9-year-old granddaughter that absolutely just eats it up. She loves horror. And the bloodier the better. I mean, it just, she don't get fazed. She don't get scared.
Right.
She don't get fazed. And then I've got a 7-year-old granddaughter who we don't let watch, obviously, the bad stuff, but she'll watch
right.
like ghost movies and stuff like that. We call her Little Creepy. Her name's Raven, but we call her Little Creepy because literally you can't scare that kid. She just don't get scared. And yeah, so they are a lot more timid. Like, you know, if I watch some of the things they're watching when I was their age, yeah, I probably would have had trouble sleeping.
Well,
I would have had wild
dogs.
And I love that stuff, but I would have definitely been creeped out more than what
right,
they
as
are.
As a kid, you would have had trouble with that. But things were different
yeah.
back in our day. And I know I sound like an old
That's
person,
true.
But they really were.
No,
and
but a few decades makes a difference. It really does. You know?
It does. So as long as
yep.
I say what's the scare factor and they tell me what they watch, then I'm like, okay, this I can gauge it pretty quick and be like, yeah, you're fine. If they said something
right.
that I would make me think that they weren't fine, I'd be like, well, I don't think this is for you yet. Wait a couple years. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
you guys were talking about, Stephen was saying, oh, you know, I'll convert you to like fantasy. I think that once you read my romance book, you'll want to read more romance.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Only
you got
because
me.
my style of romance isn't just romance. It has family drama in
no.
it. It has, you know, other stuff in it.
Yeah, you've actually got stuff going on. You've got a plot. You know, I'm just a few chapters in, and I'm already like, oh, my God, what's going on here? Because you started out, you know, and I'm like, whoa, this is heavy.
Right.
You know, and then I'm getting into it, and I'm like, wow, there's a family dynamic going on here. There's going to be some drama. There's yeah, I mean, you've actually got, you know, a different plot. It's not all just cozy romance. This is, you know,
no.
going to be ups and downs, and you're going to have turns and twists, and yeah,
right.
I can't wait.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and turns
that's,
and twists.
Yeah,
that's
I've already seen it.
Yeah,
I try to
put turns and twists. Last Words, Book 1 in the Amber Milestone
mm-hmm.
series has turns and twists. And then City in the Middle, Book 2 in the series also has a lot of turns and twists. And so I would say that's, you know, if somebody say, well, what's your strong point as an author? What, you know,
mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, it's two things. It's one, I grab you within the first chapter or two, and then you just want to keep reading.
Yep.
The second thing would be
truth.
It's plots. I have plots and twists to keep you interested and keep you going, you know, like, oh, I didn't see that coming kind of thing. Or,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just makes it more interesting because as a reader, I like when there's plots and twists. TV shows and movies or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking of movies, I'm going to go in the office so I can tell you the title of the book. I got a big thick book on writing screenplays because I do want to try to write a screenplay someday. So
awesome.
I'm trying to find the book so I can tell you guys the title. I haven't started reading yet. I will. It's called The Screenwriter's
Bible. Well, if you ever need
Bible.
Some advice, you can always text Stephen, too, because get a hold of Steve, you know.
Right.
He could give you some advice. Mm-hmm.
So this is called The Screenwriter's Bible. Have you heard of this book, Stephen?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sure have.
Yeah. And I haven't started it yet. It's kind of thick, but I will start it at some point. But, yeah, so I have a bunch of – unlike, you know, most writers, I have a bunch of different ideas. So let me ask you this. You know, as an author, you know, writing is different format than screenplays, you know, novels are. But would you try to, you know, write, like if you were me, would you try to write a screenplay someday maybe? Or would you say, no, just stick with the novel writing because that's what you're familiar with, comfortable with?
Mm.
Do you want
I would
that,
say what you want to write. If you want to write a screenplay from one of your books, go for it.
100%. I think it's very beneficial to your writing if you do step outside your comfort zone and try new techniques, new genres, different things. You're going to pique your interest in other ways and bring it back to even your base writing, you know, what you comfortably write all the time. You're going to bring back more to the table because everything you do, you're gaining more skill, you're honing your craft. So I think it's fantastic when you step outside your comfort zone.
And for my part, I would say, you know, you're going into it and it's a completely different style of writing. So you're, as Holly said, you're stepping outside your comfort zone. It's very minimalist. You know, it's definitely the fulfills the adage, less is more. Because in you know it's a framework for a visual piece, and so you know you don't have a lot of description. You certainly don't have interior thoughts or anything like that. Everything has to be shown. You can't tell. You know, very much anchored on dialogue for getting characters across. So there's mm-hmm. there's a definite challenge as a writer. To shifting into that and not having the full range of tools that you have in prose. And so as Holly said, I think she said it great. You know, when you come back to prose, it actually does bring some things back that help tighten up your writing. And, you know, in terms of show, don't tell, in terms of dialogue improvement, in terms of, you know, not getting too purple prosy. And so I think that some skills can be very beneficial to prose, even though they are completely different mediums. So, yes, I do think it'd be a good experience for you.
Well, that all sounds good. Yeah, so I will get into that. And instead of turning like my books into screenplays, what I'm going to do is take one of my new ideas and then do a screenplay on it. So,
mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't do like what I did and everything. And it said the more, you know, went to a writing thing and on screenplays and they said the more white you've got on the page, the better. So on the front first page and everything, I wrote the title and everything, and all the pages in between and everything, I just left blank. And they rejected it for some reason. I don't know why.
But why did you leave them blank in between?
Well, they told me that the more white that you left on the page is better. So I figured they were all blank and everything. That would be the best that they could have.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
don't
quite
think
that
so,
blank.
Daniel. That's not how it works, Rodney.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite that blank.
A little bit too much white there.
Yeah, that's too much.
The perfect screenplay, a stack of blank pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be going maybe a little bit too far. That's funny.
Oh, dear.
That's funny. Yeah, I say go for it, Colleen. I think it'd be a good experience for you. And even adapting one of your own novels to a screenplay format might be a good exercise, too. That'd be a fun one for you, I think. I've done some adaptation.
A chapter and doing it. Yeah, just do a chapter for the practice, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh, is it something else when you adapt a book? I've done it before, and I've done it for some people before, and it is amazing how much does not make it through.
Right,
maybe
yeah,
10 to 15% is, I think, a high estimation. I think more toward 10% of the book actually makes it through to the actual screenplay.
That makes me kind of
that's why everybody says the book is better than the movie.
Exactly.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is because there's more information in the book. Totally.
Well, you've got the fact that, you know, about every page you've got 1 minute of screen.
Mm.
So, you know, if you've got a 300-page book that you're trying to make a screenplay out of and you're wanting to make one screenplay, are you going to have 300, you know, minutes of movie?
Right.
Or are you going to get rid of some stuff and have a movie that people will sit down and watch?
Right.
Yeah, they're different mediums, and that's what you find out completely. As Amy mentioned in the chat room, apples and oranges. I mean, they really are two different spheres. But like I said, doing them, you know, you can – it's a good writing exercise that can be beneficial to your prose writing, you know, just because of the minimalism and the, you know, the inability to do the interior thoughts and stuff. It makes you really focus on dialogue and things like that. So it can be very helpful, in my opinion. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I will at some point. I got some other stuff going on I want to get through first. But I was hoping I could read just a small section from Last Words, if I may.
This is your show, Colleen.
Please
we're here,
do.
As I said, I told Holly I was going to do a British accent tonight, so I'll do this briefly. But we are here tonight to discuss your literature and show what a great author you are. So, yes, we're here.
That's
to
– pretty good accent.
Too bad, but yeah,
well,
I was kind
of
on the fly
there.
Well,
he gets to watch a lot of – well, he gets to hear a lot of British dramas because I'm playing them constantly.
Okay.
But that being said, yes, this is your
show.
And we can go for the next 2 hours. Holly's ready to hear your whole book, so if you just want to do a whole live audio book, you're welcome to.
I won't read the whole thing, but I can read a small section. I'm just trying to get my dog to come in here first. He was outside, so anyways, okay, sorry about that. He likes to stand at the door and act like he wants in. You open it, and then he's like, nah, I changed my mind.
I'm done.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to read a small section from Last Words, Book 1 in the Amber Milestone series, which is Romantic Suspense. And before I start reading it, I will just let you know that this is when Amber and Jack, I don't know if you've gotten this far yet, Holly, but it shouldn't ruin anything for you. It won't be a spoiler anything. but it's when they're in a hot air balloon. Have you read that part yet?
Nope, I haven't got there yet.
Okay, well, this will just make you want to get there, so.
There you go. I'll be like, that's where she was reading.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So they're in the hot air balloon, and it's to give you a taste of what my romance is like. So I'll start now. We face this. Sorry, I'll start again. I was stumbling over my words, daggone it. Okay, take two. We faced the spectacular view. I can see why you love this land. The vineyard is exquisite, and so are you. Jack softly kissed my earlobe. I leaned into him as he moved my hair away from my neck and gently pressed his lips against it. He traced his hand down my arm until it rested firmly on my hip. I turned toward him while looking deep into his eyes. We kissed each other, letting our lips part. His tongue slid its way partially into my mouth, pulling me into the kiss. Our bodies were as close as possible. Heat radiated from them as our hearts pounded against each other. Just as I dove deeper with my tongue, he pulled away, ending our connection with a soft, lingering kiss. That's all.
Is that
Daniel?
And this is for elementary kids?
No, this is my romance suspense.
I was going to say, no, definitely not. I was like, yeah.
No, this isn't for the kids at all.
No, yeah. I said it was
no.
From last words, not, I did not say it was from This is a Black Stone.
Yeah, the Star Chamber show gets steamy. All right, Colleen. Well
yes.
Done. That was good. That was awesome.
Love it.
I woke him up in the chat room.
People
are
like,
woke him up.
What happens next?
That got him going. So
99
awesome.
Cents, guys. 99 cents. I'm going to put the link in the chat room here for him.
Yeah, Star Chamber show page, by the way, has right now a link to Colleen's Christmas gift special, and that is on the Star Chamber show Facebook page. It's the latest post that we made tonight, but that was done right before the show. So you can also you want to talk about what you got on there on that special.
Yeah. So the link to the Christmas gift special, what that's about is, you fill out the form, you click on the link, it takes you to a form, you fill it out, answer a few questions, and what you get is you get two signed paperbacks, Last Words, Book 1 in the Amber Milestone Series, and City in the Middle, Book 2 in the Amber Milestone Series, Romance Suspense. Once again, not for young adult. This is the adult side. Adult side of my writing. So I would say 18 and up. They probably could be 16 and up, but, you know, I'll say 18 and up. Just it's adult romance, but it has suspense, family drama in it. So you get both Book 1 and Book 2 of the Amber Milestone series signed, and then as a bonus, you get a recipe packet, and Holly has gotten one of my recipe packets, so she can talk about
mm-hmm.
that if she wants. And they have easy and delicious recipes. And they're all my own recipes I've come up with because I like to cook, and I'm not a professional cook like Amber, my main character, but I just, you know, like to cook for myself. My boyfriend, you know, cooks meals, whatnot. But they're all good. They're all easy to make. They're all yummy. I've had them all. So you get that recipe packet as a bonus. And then on top of that, you get another bonus, which is you get entered to win a signed paperback of Book 3 when it comes out next year.
Did I hear you say you've got a 16-year-old boyfriend?
I do what?
Did I hear you say you've got a 16-year-old boyfriend?
No, would you stop it?
Merciless,
Daniel.
You're merciless.
Incorrigible.
Yes, incorrigible is the correct word.
Way older than that.
Yeah. Poor Colleen comes on the show after a while, and this is what she gets. Oh, boy, I tell you. But
well, next time I come back, I'll make sure Daniel's not around. That's what I'm going to do.
Yes, I'm gonna dive in here. I have indeed met and interacted with Colleen's other half, and he's fantastic. Yeah, I absolutely think he's awesome. And so actually, yeah, miss you and miss him because yeah, we haven't had much of a live book event world for a couple of years for the most part, and so yeah, we haven't even gotten to see you for a couple of years. Yeah,
but I will say, and I want to tell everybody, Colleen does fantastic with her promotional ads and her promotional parties that she does. She has some really cool Facebook parties and book release parties and just really neat stuff. And she gives away, I've won, like, I think I won a puzzle one time. And then I won your cookbook here a while back. I think it was earlier this year when you did one.
Uh-huh.
And I've got it here. And, yeah, I mean, it's just really fun and neat. And I do love the way that you do promote yourself. You know, you're very proactive. And,
I am totally.
I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy your parties. I always try to make it when I can. I'm not doing, pulled 10 different directions. I do try to make it. And, yes, I enjoy them.
I always say when I do, like, a live Facebook book reading, you know, I always make sure I say, hey, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate your time. Because people are so busy. If you get 5 minutes of somebody's time, you should be like, especially on social media, you should be like thanking them a lot because it is a big freaking deal, let me tell you. If you can get 5 minutes of somebody's time on social media, it is a huge, huge success for you. It sounds like it wouldn't be, but in actuality it is. And it's, you know, it's the same with podcasts. You guys probably feel like every time you get a new listener, you're like, that's awesome. I love it, you know, because.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, I get ecstatic when I get a note on Twitter or whatever that they love the show or they heard it and
right,
or whatever platform
right,
I happen to be on. I mean, we have people listen from all over and international,
right,
and it's I do hear from new people all the time, and it's a great feeling. Yeah, like you said, yeah, when you have somebody new that tunes in.
Right, but I'm just teasing you, Daniel. I'll come on the show if you're just gonna have to behave better, but.
Daniel behaves. Are you talking about the dark one behaving?
We have tried for years. It has not worked yet.
Okay.
I can behave better and everything, but you know, it all depends on what you consider better. You know, I always behave.
Yeah.
I behave like myself. You know.
Well, I'm just gonna start testifying everything. Like, yeah, my boyfriend who's over 50 and, you know, this book is for adults only and.
Yes.
Got to be specific with Daniel, you know.
Be very specific.
You know.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? If Daniel's not teasing you, then you know, you think he didn't like you. See, if he's teasing you, he likes you. So that's
a good sign.
Point.
Oh, yeah, he's merciless, Holly and myself behind the scenes.
Question four, though, when it comes to your romance novels, do you stick with the romance
suspense
guidelines, or do you step outside the box?
Like the standard formulas, or do you kind of go out of those boundaries?
I would say I go out of them. What do you think, Holly? Do you know? I would say
I could tell. I mean, already, you definitely are outside the boundaries. There's only like one other. Well, there's, I'll tell you, Randy Perrin. That's her pen name. I don't know if you know Randy, but she writes like LGBTQ romance, and she does that. I mean, there's always like a sub story, you know, that goes with it, and
right,
that's what I could read. That's, you know, if you pick up like, oh, I don't know, who's some of these older romance authors? I can't think of any right off the tip because I don't read it, but like Harlequin, you know, the Harlequin novels, I mean, you know what you're getting. You know it's going to be sex, sex, sex for like, you know, half the book, and there's
but
you know, plot
a lot of
and drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's people that like to read that. If you do, fine. You know, good. You read what you like, but it's not something that I enjoy. So, you know, that's just not my thing, reading the romance, the cozy romance. But I do like when you have that along with a storyline, a plot, plot, you know, and different. Yeah, you're not writing with the formula per se. You are writing, you know, a story, and the romance is just in there like a, I don't know, like a sprinkle on a cupcake, you know?
Right. Right. My book definitely has more than just a romance. It's definitely outside the box. But I think that's what makes it so interesting to read and makes it different.
Because you're actually reading a story.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, it can be dark and gritty at times, but if it's dark and gritty, I have a reason for it being. I'm not doing it just to do it, you know.
Just to throw it in there. Just to, you know, throw it in. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason for it. And it is part of the story.
Like, for example, this isn't about dark and gritty, but this, I put things in there for a reason. For example, Last Word's backdrop is set in Napa Valley, California, Vineyards Wine Country. So the hot air balloon was like I could write about how beautiful the vineyards were and how beautiful the view was and, you know, put that in there, too, to make you feel like you were really there.
Immersed.
So, and, of course, the romance is going to draw you in, but I think that it's even better if the scenery can also draw you in along with the romance.
Have you taken a hot balloon ride?
I have not, but I just do what I do when I haven't done something. I just research a lot on the internet and whatnot and find out what I need to know. And if it's not 100% accurate or I got something wrong here and there, not everybody's going to catch that because a lot of people haven't had a hot air balloon ride, number one.
Right.
But hopefully I got it right. I don't know that I'd I don't think I'd really like that. I don't think I want to take a ride in a hot air balloon personally. I just I'm not a big fan of heights. I mean, I force myself to get on a plane because I can get to Florida in a couple hours, you know. But do I really like to get on a plane? No, I totally don't. I just force myself to do it, you know. But, I mean, that's fear of heights. They really should call it fear of falling because that's really what you're afraid of. It's not that you're high. It's that if you fall from the height, you know.
It's always that sudden stop, just like getting off Daniel's Penny Father bike. It's not the ride. It's the sudden stop when you fall off and it's hitting the ground. That's what hurts. It's the hitting the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, the hitting the ground
it's called
part.
The hitting
right.
the ground fear. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, that's it exactly. But, yeah, you hit on something. You know, research. Research is so important. Do what, Daniel?
That's the reason I call it my commitment bike, because once you get up on top of it, you've made a commitment.
Oh, you did?
Right.
Yeah, you did. For sure. But, yeah, research is key.
Right. I try to
people
do as
think
much
they
as I
can.
Just, try to talk
go
to
ahead.
People if I can. My brother is a retired captain from Centerville, Ohio, law enforcement. So, he, you know, on my second book, I got into where I had to ask him questions because in my second book, there's mafia. And when it came to trying to not give away too much, you got to be careful what you say, you know. But anyway, I had to ask him questions like, is this how the police would handle the situation? And I'd send chapters and then he would, you know, send them back and he would highlight in red if I needed to change a word or this or that. And usually I was pretty close to what I needed to be anyways. I didn't have to change too much. But, you know, what a great resource to have your brother as somebody you can send an email to and say, hey, can you check this out?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know.
Very
helpful, very helpful. And speaking of, I'll just to give you a kind of little bit of an idea about the book two in the series is So book one is set in Napa Valley, California, and it's about Amber falling in love with Jack. And in book two, it is set in New York City, and it has mafia in it. It has a hot fireman. Once again, this is adult, Daniel, but just to be clear. Book two, I had to consult with him, you know, quite a bit. I had a lot of chapters. I had to send him and say, is this right? And he was very helpful with all that. But book two is very much twists and turns. And she goes, you know, in New York, she has this job, and it's a new job for her, and she starts to notice that there's something going on. And the more she talks to people, she finds out that, you know, the mafia has a relationship with the restaurant/bar that she works with. And her friend, her longtime friend, who is a boss there, is also concerned about this connection. So it's kind of like it's not a mystery, but it's kind of sort of like it. You know, she's trying to figure out what's going on, and as she figures it out, she's getting pulled deeper into things. And so it's, like I said, a lot of twists and turns and dark and gritty in parts, but I think it's people are going to love it. If they like Last Words, they're going to love City in the Middle even more, is what I think. So,
well, I've got two questions for you. One of them is, you know, what era is it set in? And the other one is, what do you consider dark and gritty?
Okay, those are good questions. So the first book takes place, starts in 1999, but then the second book goes into like 2000, and then the third book will be like 2000 to 2001. It's something like that.
So a newer setting then. Okay.
Right. So that is still considered contemporary romance, because historical is way before then. So would be contemporary romance. And then what was the other question?
What do you consider dark and gritty? You brought that up several times, but what do you consider dark and gritty?
Speaking from a romance book standpoint, in the romance world, dark and gritty would be, I'm trying to think how to describe it, how to say it. It would be drama, but drama that is based off of something that is dark and gritty, like, I'm trying to think, how do I say this? I'm trying to explain it without giving away too much, too. So,
like 50 Shades of Grey, dark and gritty, or?
No, not that dark, not that type of dark and gritty. I mean more like there's action in there, there's things that are like life and death situations.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And could be, it's intense because it could be a life or death situation, a little bit of blood in sometimes, because if somebody gets shot and there's blood. For romance.
So not just
romance,
pertaining to the sexual aspect.
You're talking about the, right.
Sort of like NCIS type of dark and gritty.
Kind of, yeah, exactly, like that. So it's like life or death, a little bit of blood in it, intense scenes, action scenes, violence. But, you know, those aren't – I'm talking from a romance standpoint. Those are dark and gritty for a romance book. That's why it's romantic suspense. It's romantic suspense because it is dark and gritty at times. If it was a romance, it wouldn't be that way.
No, that's what I said. The first chapter, and I'm not going to give away anything, but the first chapter of the one I'm reading, it was dark and gritty compared to romance settings. And I was like, whoa, okay. And that's what really grabbed my attention. Because I'm like, oh, this isn't your average sweet romance here. I'm intrigued. And then it piqued my interest, and then I kept reading, and that's what, you know, caused me to be late to the show. But, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
hey,
I'm looking forward to reading the rest now. Yeah.
I'll take it as a compliment. And
it is.
Somebody
it definitely
tell
is.
Tell me that they are so enthralled in my book that they lose track of time. I'm like, well, that's what I want you to do, you know.
That's
I
exactly
had a person
it.
Told me they started reading my book, and it was like light out when they started. And next thing they knew, it was dark, and they were still reading. And I said, that's great. I love it.
Yep.
That's what
that's
I want.
That's what you want.
You know.
Any author loves to hear that. You know, that's definitely what you want, to keep them, you know, entranced.
So
mm-hmm.
I should talk
yes.
about Right Writers of Dayton before I leave.
Yes, the Right Writers of Dayton. Yes.
So they are a group based in Dayton, Ohio, and we meet at the downtown library the last Saturday of every month except for December because everybody's busy with the holidays. And if anybody is interested or has any questions about it, just you can message me on Facebook. You can put a question in your podcast area, and I'm sure Holly and Stephen will let me know about it. What we are doing is we're looking to grow and gain more writers into our group that are serious writers that love to write and are there to learn from each other and inspire each other and all that good stuff. And we have a variety of writers, which is really great. Of course, I write romantic suspense, young adult. We have a fantasy writer. We have poetry writers. We have nonfiction writers. We have children's books writers, a little bit of everything. So, which is great.
So it's all genre.
Right. So if your group is a group of writers that are diverse in what they write, it helps your group because then when new members come in, usually one of us can help them with something. And then they can help us in return. You know, it's a give or take thing. And my biggest thing with the group is that I always try to encourage everybody, and we do, to be the, you know, when you give a critique, I tell them, and they do it, that you have to say at least one positive thing in your critique, if not more, because if you say all negative, it's too harsh on that person. You've got to tell them some good stuff, too, which is very important. It's not so that you're babying them. It's so that they will keep going and that they won't feel so beaten down by negative, negative, negative that they give up.
Putting things on paper is a plus, you know, they're writing.
Right.
That's
right.
A plus, you know. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Encouragement.
It's like one of the first writing groups that I became a member of. We had two different, you know, everybody was doing, you know, short readings and stuff. And, you know, one lady was very, you know, meticulous and ornate about what she wrote. Very good writer. And they told her that, you know, she had too many, you know, details in her writing and all this stuff, and basically berated her for, you know, just putting in some simple facts in there. Another one that was there, you know, she was, you know, putting in how many bales of cotton were, you know, done and, you know, how long it'd take to pick them and all this, you know, stuff that she had in there, and there was, you know, that's really good and everything, you know, not telling her a bit about, you know, I mean, she's going into exactly how this machine would work and stuff like that, you know. Well, she'd gone down that rabbit hole and pulled out every fact that, you know, if I wanted to read an encyclopedia, you know, I would have, you know, done it.
Right.
And I was sitting there listening to them, and I'm like, Okay, they're not going to like my writing at all then.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, the second group that I went to was a group of which most of them were young adult, or not young adult, but sort of like junior high and below writers. You know, all of them had books published and all this stuff, and, you know, award winners and everything. It was in that group. And I came in and I tried to write what I thought would be, you know, something for, like, more people. And they came around and asked me, is this the book that you really want to write? And I was there, I go, not really, but it's the one that, you know, I was trying to get as many, you know, people that would read it instead of niching myself down into just what I wanted to write. I said, no, you write the book that you want to write and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best suggestion to me, anything that I ever had, because I'd already written like 3/4 of the book the other way, and I scrapped every bit of it.
Wow. You
know, and started over again, writing it the way I wanted to write it.
Mm-hmm.
On my first
mm-hmm.
book and everything. And
right.
one of the guys came to me and he goes, yeah, he goes, I didn't sleep for about 3 days after I read the book, but the book was really done well, so.
That's it, you know, and it's encouraging. So I do like that the Dayton writers do help lift each other up and encourage and not just knock down, because a critique doesn't have to be mean. I mean, if you have stuff to say, say it, but you don't have to be mean about it and destroy someone, you know. Yeah, you don't want to destroy someone's joy of writing altogether, you know.
No,
there's a way
no.
to say it, to be discreet and critiquing instead of bashing. You know, there's a difference.
Right.
That's the thing that got me is the one lady was, you know, in the first group,
mm-hmm.
she was probably one of the best writers in that group. Hearing what you're reading, what she'd written, because she brought
right.
5 pages and everything and passed them all out and everything. And
mm-hmm.
she was probably the best writer of all the ones that I'd read that night. But, you know.
Yeah, that's scary. You know, that's scary to.
And then.
In the first place, you know, go ahead.
But they bashed her and then praised the other lady that, you
mm-hmm.
know, was not writing a book, you know, a romance novel or whatever she was trying to write.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just like, people aren't being honest with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just,
right.
I walked away from that group because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't blame you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the group
you want to try
good.
To encourage.
Yeah, if the group is not benefiting you, it's best to part ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I agree
yes,
with
the
that.
Wasting your time.
It has to be a good
mm-hmm.
situation for you and good for you. If it's not, then I would try to find another group or whatever. But so,
mm-hmm.
So before I go, I'm going to switch gears here for a minute, go back to the young adult side.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my book, The Evil Within, under the pen name Karen Casey, book one in the Witches of Blackstone series. I was going to read a small portion of that to show you how I kind of draw you in from the get-go. So this
awesome.
Is
absolutely.
This
fantastic.
Is from the prologue of my book, The Evil Within, and it's young adult paranormal. So the prologue starts. Tasha had longed to meet her baby brother ever since her mom said the bundle of joy that was coming would be someone Tasha would connect with for the rest of her life. After her brother was born, Tasha and her dad paused in the doorway of her mom's hospital room before entering. Her dad held his hand out for Tasha to hold. You can see him now, his warm smile spread across his trimmed brown beard, finally. Taking his hand, she looked up at him and grinned. Before they reached her mom's bed, he picked up Tasha. She held onto him, excited to finally see what a brother looked like. Her dad walked over to the newborn. "Look, Tasha," he smiled at her before looking at the infant. The baby peeked out from under the blue blanket. Mom pulled it back to reveal more of his face. He wiggled his legs and arms, squirming around. Dad bent over so Tasha could get a closer look. Her brother's blue eyes opened and locked on hers. In that second, something magical and bizarre happened. Her ability to see didn't come from her eyes. She saw through his and was staring at her own honey-colored eyes and blonde hair that framed her face. She shuddered. Her connection with her brother was so intense she couldn't feel Dad's arms holding her. She wondered if her brother was looking through her eyes. The weight of her body returned as she no longer saw through his eyes but through her own. The longer she gazed at her brother, the more she tapped into his emotions. He noticed shapes and colors while being fascinated with Tasha's face. A deep sense of devotion filled with everlasting love radiated inside of her, filling her heart with joy. In that moment, Tasha and her brother held mutual admiration for each other. She would love him forever. She wasn't scared of being a big sister anymore. She was determined to watch over him. Put her down. Tasha hopped up on the edge of the bed. Her feet dangled as she gazed at her brother in awe. "You bonded with him, didn't you?" Mom asked. She nodded. "You're going to love being his older sister," Mom said. Tasha smiled at her mom, then looked lovingly at her brother. Among the life-changing revelations, Tasha sensed that they were meant to do great things. What exactly, she did not know. Tasha's ability to see through her brother's eyes only happened on the day Matt was born. After that, she could only sense his emotions if he was near. Their love was not diminished because of that. It grew stronger year after year. So that was the prologue.
Nice. Now I'm going to end up have to check those out.
So that gives you... I'm sorry, what?
No, I said definitely, yeah. I know that one is definitely already up Holly's alley for sure, the other series. So, yeah that would be a much easier sell. Yes,
I
am proud of you.
I love the young adult genre. Love young adult.
Yeah, and to get Holly to read romance, you've done very well, Colleen. That is fantastic.
Yep.
Well done.
What was the name of that book again?
The Evil Within, Book 1 in the Witches of Blackstone series. And the author name is Karen Casey because that's my pen name for my young adult.
Okay.
So, you know, once again, I think that prologue kind of sucks you into their brother and sister, how they're bonded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the part where it says, go back to it here for a second. Among the life-changing revelations, Tasha sensed that they were meant to do great things. What exactly, she didn't know. So that's kind of foreshadowing, you know.
I do have a question about the pen name. What made you decide to actually write under the pen name? Was it just to decipher, so people could decipher your romance from your young adult? Or was there something else into play?
It's about branding because Colleen Green, I want you to associate that with adult romance. Karen Casey, I want you to associate it with young adult books.
Okay.
And then
fair
the
enough.
Name Karen is my confirmation name because I'm Catholic. And Casey, my main name is Casey but with a C, so I changed it to a K. Because Karen Casey, you know, the KK sound kinds of, it goes well together, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's clever.
So it's actually your name, but just
it's
not,
like
not
a different form of one of my names, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've already, like, even if I write, if I, you know, when I do get around to trying to write screenplays, I already have, like, a different name for that, too, picked out. So I don't know if that's necessary, but that's just what I'm kind of thinking I might do. And that will be like Karen Casey. It'll be, like, a different form of my name, you know?
Do you find that it's harder doing advertising and, like, promo since you already have, like, a reader base with one name? Or
no.
Do you find that it's actually easier because then you can get the two separated and you can actually really hit your target audience?
The second thing you said, yeah. You can hit your target.
Okay.
So I have two different Facebook pages. I have my author Colin Green Facebook. Then I have, you know, my author Karen Casey Facebook because they're meant for different audiences. I mean, obviously, adults read young adult too, you know.
I do.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For young adult.
Yeah. But there's things I'm going to put
on my favorite. I love it.
Romance Facebook page. I'm not going to put on my young adult page, you know. So I definitely keep them separate. I keep them separate, you know. And then I manage the Writers of Dayton page, and there's things I will put on there that – there's things I'll put an author, you know, Colin Green – if I'm going to put a hot picture of a guy that, you know, his shirt's off and he has a pair of jeans on, I'm not going to put that on the Right Writers of Dayton, obviously.
Right, right.
You know, so you have to know who your audience is and what's appropriate for your audience kind of thing. You know.
Agreed.
But my website is like ColinGreenKarenCasey.com. Because then they can go, you know, look at the books and say which one they want to, like, hit more information on or whatever. But the Facebook pages,
there
I keep them separate. You know, I keep them separate because I don't want to, you know, Write Writers is going to have a different feel than Colin Green's going to have a different feel than Karen Casey. So,
right.
You know, and
that
I've
makes
done
sense.
Facebook.
Do
I've
you have web
Facebook,
pages
so,
for those?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have web pages with those?
Well, it's ColinGreenKarenCasey.com. So all one, you know, it's all put together. But on the website, the Facebook pages are separate.
Okay.
Because on the website, it's just my author bio and a description of the books and a link to the books. And I like some reviews on there. But it's nothing that... It's all okay. Like, I'm not – it's different with Facebook because with Facebook you're doing multiple posts, different days throughout the year. So it's just – it's different with the Facebook pages.
Right.
I would not want Karen Casey, Colin Green to be all one Facebook page. That, to me, it would not be good. I would not want that. Because,
so
like
what
you
do
said,
you write
Holly,
your cookbook under?
I'm sorry, what?
What do you write your cookbooks under?
Oh, they are actually recipe packets. I might do an actual book someday, but what I do, like what Holly got, was it's recipes from my blog, which is activeamateurchef.wordpress.com. It's too long to say. But, yeah, Daniel, if you want a recipe packet, just message me on Facebook and I'll send you one. But basically what they are.
Yeah, Daniel. Daniel would love that. He's actually a
blog.
Victorian chef, so there you go.
Yeah. We can exchange recipe packets now.
There you go.
But, the book, right, Daniel?
I have a book that is Victorian ketchup.
That's right.
Recipes for ketchup, about 60 different flavors.
Yeah,
all kinds.
I think I remember I met you, Daniel, at it was probably Imaginarium, right?
Either Imaginarium
probably.
Or if you were at the one that Tony does over in LaGrange.
No, it would have been Imaginarium, I'm sure.
Colleen does go to the LaGrange one.
Colleen was there in 2019, so I think that's where you guys may have met.
Yeah, Imaginarium.
Yeah.
The last
hope to see her in 2022.
Yes,
Colleen needs to see our new fancy venue since we had a debut with a great response last year, and it is nice.
Yeah.
You'll love it. Yes.
So
classy. First rate.
Again. Where is the fancy venue?
It is the Holiday Inn Louisville East, but it's not far from the old venue, actually, but it's a tremendous upgrade. It is a very modern and current facility and just absolutely wonderful.
Restaurant, bar on site, everything's right there.
And this year, or this, in 2022, what date is
July
that?
8th through the 10th.
Yep. Yeah, you'll love the new venue. Yeah, you don't want to miss it.
That would be amazing to see you.
Our response on the new venue was golden, and people were just like, finally got the venue that. So.
Yeah, we'd love to see you. It'd be great. Well, we're about at the end there, so could you tell people everywhere they can find you and any upcoming events you're going to be appearing at?
Well, it sounds like I need to go to Imaginarium next year.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
So there's one right there. And then, of course, check out my Christmas gift special that Stephen said he put links up to on your Facebook page or something.
Yep, they're on the Facebook page for Star Chamber. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then if anybody's interested or from the Dayton, Ohio area and would like to check out Wright Riders of Dayton, put it in the message board, and Stephen O'Holly will let me do it, or message me on Facebook. Just look up Colleen Green. My profile pic right now is a Snapchat picture of me looking like a reindeer, but that's me.
Nice. That's nice.
It's what country cute. It's a really cute Colleen. Picture. Anyways. That's my picture. You know how, like, if you put Colleen Green in, there's probably more than one Colleen Green on Facebook, but a lot of times you can see with their little profile picture. So if you see somebody that looks like a reindeer and they kind of, it makes you look like a reindeer and it makes you look like kind of like a Pixar face, like Frozen face, the big eyes and stuff. That's me.
Oh yeah.
So you can message me on there if anybody's interested in the Wright Riders of Dayton and what else?
Your website.
Yeah, website is ColleenGreenKarenCasey.com. And Casey is spelled K-A-S-E-Y. Also, let's see. As far as events next year, besides the Imaginarium, I haven't gotten as far as planning anything else yet, but I'm sure something will come along that I will be at. But I always Facebook, if you go to author Colleen Green, you'll see last words on there. Or no, I'm sorry. It's City in the Middle. The banner, Facebook banner, is City in the Middle. If you go to author Colleen Green and you like my page, I always post on there if I'm going to be at an event. So you would know by that.
Does your web page have all your links to it?
I believe it does. And if it doesn't, look up author Colleen Green. And like I said, the banner on it will say City in the Middle. That's how you know it's my Facebook page.
Do you do Instagram or LinkedIn or anything like that?
I'm on LinkedIn. I do a little bit of Twitter. I don't really do Instagram. I might do it more someday. Right now, I don't.
TikTok?
No, not really. I probably should because with the young adults, you know.
Yep, TikTok's fun.
Is it addictive like Snapchat?
Yeah, very much so. I have to watch my TikTok every day. I go through my TikToks.
No.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. You can really edit the video and stuff. And there's also, if you get on there, use the hashtag BookTalk. There's BookTalk, hashtag AuthorTalk. You know, when you post something, you can read
and you could do all these different backgrounds. You could pick your music you want to go with it. You can read part of your books. I mean, you could do a skit. I mean, there's just – it's endless on there what you can do. And, yeah, those are the big hashtags, though, for writers. It's like, you know, the book talk and the author talk, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
How much time do you think you'll probably do it for my young adult people.
Definitely. Do what, Daniel?
How much time did you say you get on that, on your little videos?
Usually they run 30 seconds, but you can go up to 3 minutes. And once you get a 1,000 followers, which is a feat, to really get 1,000 followers on TikTok, you have to do at least a video every other day. It's best to do one like a day. But, I mean, a 30-second video don't take no time. And they've got tons of filters, tons of, you know, different stuff you could do and throw on there. And you can also use the same video because you can just make a video from your phone. You don't have to do it through their platform. You could actually make a video on your phone, then upload it to their platform, do your editing or whatever, use that same video, throw it over there on Instagram, throw it on Facebook. So out of one video, you can get lots of mileage from that video. But yeah, 30 seconds is the average, up to 3 minutes, unless you have 1,000 followers. If you get 1,000 followers, you can actually do lives.
Oh,
but
nice.
You can put your links in there and everything. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we need to get together, and you need to help me get on TikTok with my young adult book.
Yeah. I've made a few videos. I definitely need to do, because I've been getting – I get hundreds of views when I throw one up there, but I just do silly stuff, you know, with,
Holly,
like, filtering and everything.
Yeah, I do.
And I really want to do like Imaginarium and the press and, you know, different things like that and promotion. I want to get on that side of it. But, yeah, Colleen, I'll help you out. It's fun.
Yeah, we'll have to get together sometime. And I'll want a game plan before we do. But
Heck, yeah.
I have an account. I haven't posted yet, but I do have an account.
Yeah, Steve's like, you drew me over to the dark side. Well, it's so fun, too, because it gets your algorithm. It after a first few videos, you know, it'll show you things. And after you like stuff, and after you comment on stuff, and you share stuff, then it starts pinpointing you and does an algorithm, and that's what you see.
Right.
So, like, every video that shows up on your For You page is what they call it. It's like, you know, your Facebook wall. For You page, all these videos are related to stuff you love, which there's tons of cooking.
Right.
Oh, my God. I see tons of cooking videos. I made a recipe off earlier yesterday, but I try stuff all the time off of there that I can't even find on Pinterest or nowhere else. So, yeah, it's really neat. It's a vast, it's never ending. What you can really find on there, you know, with the reading, the writing, you can find, you know, your other hobbies, cooking. There's clean talk. I like to clean. So there's clean talk. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just literally it's endless. I'm sure there's a cigar talk, Daniel. I guarantee you there is. I would almost 99% guarantee you.
This might be a good time for Daniel,
this
contest, and then with Colleen with her new promotions. I mean, this might be a good time for them to dive into it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yep, there's a game plan.
Yeah, because that'd be something to look into.
And it's the kind of platform where you and your reindeer outfit will be perfect for it.
So
that
true.
Kind of stuff works
they
great.
They eat that
stuff
up.
They love eclectic stuff on there, so. But thank you so much for joining us, Colleen. It's been awesome having you back. I've missed you a lot. Hated the fact that we've gotten so much of a mess the last couple of years with all that's going on around the world with this pandemic mess. But definitely I hope that 2022 is a much different year and we get to see you in person again, because
definitely
have missed you, Holly and I both.
I missed you guys too.
Yeah, but I will turn it over to you for final comment, and Holly and Daniel could take us out.
Okay. So, Holly, I just wanted to mention that you will for sure want to check out The Evil Within, because in my acknowledgments, I do thank you, because I think you believe, you helped me with a little part of it, I believe. So,
yeah, I remember that. That's right. That's right. We did. I forgot about that. Oh, wow. Okay. Definitely. Thank you.
So thanks, guys, for having me. This has been fun, and I'm sure I'll be on here at another point in time, and
mm-hmm,
I will definitely,
definitely
mark my calendar for Imaginarium next year, and then that way we can see each other for sure, and maybe
definitely
before then if I can get a TikTok game plan. But.
Yes.
Do about a week ahead of time of TikToks. then you know, you've got 5 days or 7 days worth of TikToks to put
mm-hmm
up.
Yeah, right.
True.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
like
you could spend one day and make several videos. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, if me and
mm-hmm
Holly get together, I'll have, like, 10 video ideas for us to do or something.
We'll come up with some good stuff.
Right.
Well, it's been great having you. And is there anything else you wanted to say before we sign off here?
I'll just say thank you to anybody who has read my book and downloaded it already. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that you and Stephen are always there for me, supporting me and lifting me up. We should all
always
encourage each other, and we
yep
should all raise each other up and not put each other down. And there's enough room in this world for all of us to, help each other.
That's right.
So I really appreciate it. And like I said, I appreciate anybody who has ever bought one of my books or added a book on the to-be-read list on Goodreads or given me a positive review or has helped me critiqued my writing or just said kind words to me about my writing or kindness goes a long way in my opinion. Acts of kindness are what we remember about each other. Somebody who has treated you kind,
sure,
you always remember that person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're, like I said, trying to raise you up and build you up, and those people help you become the best version of yourself, if you think about it, because they help you along in life a little bit by a little bit, and you help yourself in the process too. And of course, give yourself some credit for not giving up,
mm-hmm,
in this world, because there's a lot of harshness in this world. There's a lot of people who will tear you down to try to build themselves up, which is not a good thing, and I believe those people deep down inside know that they're not good people, and it's really a sad way to live. I much rather help raise people up,
amen,
than tear them down, And
yep,
I, like I said, I will always try to inspire people to keep writing, and no matter what they've written, there's always one positive good thing you can say, and one good thing you can say, like you said, Holly, is, hey, you put it on paper. At least you got
mm-hmm
that far. At least you got that
That's
far.
It. That's it. That's
so,
step one.
Right. And, you're supposed to say, I believe it's like 3 positives for every negative you say. And the reason they say that is so that the person doesn't give up. And it's not babying people. It's showing kindness once again. If we would all
not discouraging.
More, it's encouraging. If people would just
right
be more kind, this world would be a better place. And
amen.
And, right. There's nothing wrong with being kind and soft-hearted and a giving,
nope,
loving person. I mean, that's who
right
I want to be around. I want to be around those people. So, yeah.
Got to find your tribe.
100%. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you so much
mm-hmm
for having me. I'm happy to be part of your guys' tribe. And
definitely.
I'm here
We're
for
glad
you guys,
to have
too.
You.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. And We would definitely have you back again sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been a pleasure. And I hope everyone out there listening takes a look at Colleen's pages, her web pages, and her books. Give them a try. Even if romance is not something you normally read or a young adult, you know, give it a try. She sure piqued my interest, and I'm hooked now. So, yeah, definitely give it a chance. And I hope you join us next Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great guest and some more good talks and hopefully encouragement. And I will hand it over to Daniel.
And as you heard the guest tonight talk about, encourage each other, whatever their creativity is. And if you're a creative, you can find discouragement anywhere around. But do not listen to that discouragement. Find the ones that want to build you up and encourage you for what you're trying to do. Until we talk next week, this is Daniel Dark signing out.